The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Some opening words of a recent column by my guest this hour caught my attention recently, a column at stream.org. He said, I sat down with a half dozen pastoral leaders lately, asking them about churches' readiness to face the new challenges in our fast-changing culture. And he said these were, well, I'll ask him who some of those folks were, but the answers he got were in three words, we're not ready. Tom Gilson is a senior editor with The Stream, author of some books called, for example, A Christian Mind, Thoughts on Life and Truth in Jesus Christ. Critical Conversations, A Christian Parent's Guide to Discussing Homosexuality with Teens. He was the chief editor of the anthology True Reason, Christian Responses to the Challenge of Atheism, and also has some other things we'll mention as we go along the way. But Tom, always good to talk with you. It's been a while, but thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Don.
Now, what are some of the leading, well, first of all, who were some of these pastors and Christian leaders in terms of demographic or whatever else some may describe them as to who you were talking to?
Sure, yeah. I was invited to an associational leaders meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in the Midwest. So most of the people I was talking to were people who are leading Baptist churches from anywhere from Kentucky to Ohio to Michigan. And so they have responsibility for anywhere up to 100 churches each. Now, there was another pastor in the group, too, who had some leadership involved in the Assemblies of God. So it wasn't all Baptists. And there's another one, too, that whose the denomination escapes me, but it was a different group that was involved.
So you got a good cross-section, at least, of part of the evangelical world, yeah. What were some of the issues, some of the leading issues they told you face-to-face, no, we're not ready?
Well, it was more of a general sense. It's like, what's coming at us? We are not prepared for this. But, yeah, one of the leading issues was the sex and gender revolution, the ideologies that are coming at us. One pastor said that his group of people, of churches, were getting caught up on the legal requirements. That is, churches really ought to have something in their charters explaining who they will and won't marry. And having that in the charters gives them legal protection against requests for gay marriage.
So some of
having that legal protection doesn't tell you how to greet the two guys who come in the church door holding hands with each other.
That's part of I caught that earlier in your column. It's one thing to be on record that you won't, for example, perform a same-sex marriage. But as you say, what do we do beyond that when they walk in? What kind of counsel? Well, first of all, what was their response to that discussion? How are any of them handling it? And what do you suggest to even listeners, pastors and church members listening right now when this sort of thing occurs?
Sure. Now, I want to make sure I speak well of these folks. I did not dive deep into how each church was handling it. And so I know that some churches feel that they are working on this and making progress, but I know that a lot of them aren't. And that's the conclusion that I was able to draw from these meetings. But what should you do when, you know, for example, when a couple of men walk in holding hands? I would love for churches to train their greeters and their ushers in this. They should assume that the men are there in order to meet with God. And yet they should also have in the back of their mind the possibility that they're there for another reason, which would be to stir up some kind of trouble or division. So they should be prepared somehow to deal with it either way. But start with the assumption that they're looking for God, just like every other person who walks in the church, because people walk in the church with all kinds of backgrounds. So greet them happily. Glad you're here. Hope you enjoy the service. Hope we can get to know you. Hope we can be friends. That kind of response will invite them in the door. We need to welcome people into the church. We welcome them on Jesus' terms, which says you're not fully a member of his body unless you do it according to the way that he's determined, not the way that we determine. So we have to bear that in mind. But the first thing is we need to be ready to welcome them.
I couldn't agree with you more. And in fact, if we want to look for the model, the Lord himself hung out with some pretty unsavory characters whose lifestyles he did not approve of ever, but he looked beyond that, and so many of them came to faith and were some of the most outstanding characters of the New Testament after they had been accepted by him without him accepting their sin, if you will, and none of us comes acceptable to God, no matter what we may try to bring, so to speak, in and of ourselves. We're all here standing under grace if we are accepted at all.
That's right. And in one of the passages in the New Testament, it's in 1 Corinthians 6, if I remember right, where the Apostle Paul speaks against homosexuality. It's part of a long list of errors that people yes. have made. And he says clearly, and such were some of you, the Christian recipients of his letter. Such were some of us, right. many of us.
Right. And Tom, you alluded to it earlier, predictable situations. What are some of the predictable situations that may arise and, in fact, in your experience, have arisen that you someone could have predicted, but they caught you by surprise, perhaps? And how can churches prepare for those?
Right. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't fail to mention the most predictable situation of all is that kids who aren't ready for this are sitting ducks for spiritual attack and walking away from the church. But the one that you're alluding to there says was when I was speaking at a group of a charismatic women's group in Cincinnati several weeks ago. Turns out, and they had asked me to speak on the topic of homosexuality. Turns out there was a lesbian woman in the audience who was angry and growing angrier every minute. And when I opened it up for questions, she launched into a tirade that none of us could stop with kind words. None of us could stop with asking her to save it for later. And finally, they had to escort her from the room. In retrospect, that was predictable. I will in the future be more prepared for the possibility of that happening again. That could happen in church.
I think you also point out in that portion of your column about the need for the church to talk about these things ahead of time. You ask, do your pastors and lay leaders know their own beliefs about these issues? Do other church members know? Has your church thought it through enough to be ready? Or do the members and leaders honestly think, nothing like that could ever happen here, when in today's world, it could well be just a matter of time before it does for many churches?
That's right. They have a very good church near where I am here. They hosted a college professor, Christian college professor, speaking on homosexuality, and two teenage girls walked out of the room. They were bisexual, and they didn't cause a scene, but they didn't like what they were hearing. We should be ready to talk with them as well. But in order to be ready, we have to know what our convictions are. We have to know as individuals. I'm convinced that when it comes to the hard conversations on sexuality, homosexuality and transgender, we can come at it with a much calmer demeanor. We can be just more real people having real conversations if we are confident that we know what we're talking about. But if it's just, well, the Bible says somewhere, or my church doesn't agree, then it turns into something strange and much more confrontational even. We need to know what we're talking about. Now, that's individuals, but it's also churches. Churches have got to, the leaders have got to come to agreement on their beliefs so that as leaders, they can explain it to the to the members and the visitors as well. And again, it's so we can be clear, non-confrontational, and truth-oriented.
And would you agree, Tom, that is so important because the confusion, sadly, is not only coming from the bottom up as, you know, the culture tries to force its way into historic Christian teaching on these matters, but from the top down. I mean, when you have people like a considerable light, if you will, such as Tony Campolo recently in recent years, shifting his views on this issue, his wife had several years prior, and more recently he has, and others in the leadership role of what we consider the evangelical wing of Christianity, shifting on these matters, it really does blur the lines or muddy the waters, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, if you haven't thought it through in advance and you run into one of these highly emotionally charged situations where it's a family member, for example, or a, you know, a deacon's family member, a church, whatever, you're going to be more influenced by the changing and shifting tides of emotion, which are important parts of our lives, but they don't convey truth. And what we need to have worked out in advance is our understanding of the truth. And that should include some advanced thought as to how we're going to deal with this if it happens to someone close to us. Can we prepare for that? I think so. We just need to do the work.
You asked the question in the column, among others, what would we do when an obvious male, for example, walks in wearing a dress? How will our churches respond? And I think that's really kind of, in a nutshell, the decision we have to make ahead of time as to how we will minister to a person, depending on why they're coming, whether they're coming out of animus and anger and trying to stir something up. We certainly have to be able to know how to respond to that in a Christ-like way, but also a hungry heart that's searching for reality and very confused. So what are your thoughts in this last couple of minutes as to how the church and the church family can prepare itself to really speak love, speak the truth, but speak it in love?
I think the first thing is that they have to understand what it means to speak in love to someone who's different from themselves and has maybe even a little role play, but certainly some discussion and training on for the greeters, in particular, the ushers. What will you do when that person walks in the door so that they know that Jesus represents and that God is a God of love? What will you do to show that when they walk in the door? I don't think most people are ready for that. They will be surprised, shocked, and we need to be more prepared than that.
You know, you referred to Paul's writings in Corinthians, reminded me of a story I heard the late Ray Stedman tell about his church in Palo Alto back in the 60s when the hippie movement and the hippie people were about as welcome in the church, average church, as their counterparts that we're talking about today. And he told of one young fellow who came and very tentatively sat on the front row because there were no seats anywhere else. But Stedman said, for some reason, I just was inspired to reference that passage you referenced earlier. And ended by saying, and such were some of you. And he said, I asked my congregation, how many of you would be honest enough to stand and say, I was one of those? That includes me. And he said, about three quarters of my congregation stood. And he said, at the end of the service, the young hippie who had come in quite tentatively said, man, when you did that, he said, I was a little nervous when I came in. But when you did that, I said, wow, this is my kind of place. And I think that's really what we have to do is create the atmosphere where people feel welcome no matter what.
Boy, I couldn't agree more. That's a great example and a great lesson for us in these strange days.
Good to talk with you. Good to read what you write. Thank you for doing it with us today. Appreciate it.
And thanks for the invitation again. It's always a joy to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.